Hi, and welcome to New Every Day. My name is Carrie.
And my name is Jen. And today we're going to talk about John 15. So stay tuned.
Welcome to episode 4 of New Every Day. We're so glad that you're tuning in again, and we're so happy to sit here and chat with you. If this is your first time tuning in, we're just two friends exploring different issues encountered as Christians in day-to-day life, and we're so happy if you would go to our website, neweveryday.tv. There's a contact link there. You can contact us via Facebook, or you can send us an email. Again, that's neweveryday.tv. We're also very thankful for Category 5 TV for hosting us, and for Eco Alkalines. Those are the types of batteries that are powering our camera, our microphones. So we're very thankful that they are sponsors on our show. So Jen, what did you think of last week?
I thought it was very interesting how there are two commandments, big ones.
Okay.
They're all big.
The majors.
Love God and love others. And so last week we talked about the loving others part and how do we actually navigate in friendship. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions you asked was, How have you seen Jesus change relationships, your relationships? And we talked about that a little bit. Yeah. And I think when it really comes down to it, it's abiding in Christ. The only way we will ever see change is if we abide in Christ or live in Christ or walk with Christ or hang out, whatever word you want to use for abiding. But it's not just like this, stick your finger out. It's not like, yeah, that is not what abiding looks like. Like abiding looks like this, where we are like close talking. Hey, like it's close. It's being willing to get up off your chair and be with Christ. And yes, he does come near.
Okay.
So- but it's also you, because it says, John 15, we're going to read it a little bit, but all the way through. And as we read it, I want you to listen. And we have, I don't know if we'll read both different versions, because I have New Century and you have...
This is New King James.
New King James. So it's going to sound a little bit different, but maybe we need to read it in the both versions, because I find sometimes things stick out differently.
Yeah. You know what? The verse I just thought of is, draw near to God and he will draw near to you.
Yes.
And that's a wonderful promise, isn't it?
It is.
Because it doesn't say fix up yourself and then come on close. You know, though God is holy.
Yes.
And once we come to know him, then he helps us get rid of sin in our life, step by step. But he is loving and gracious, and he says that we can come.
Yes.
And I'm so thankful.
Yeah. And so if we want our relationships to change, we have to draw near to Christ, period. It's not like self-help. It's not, oh,
dig down deep.
Yeah. It's like, okay, yes, but only God can truly bring the fulfillment in those relationships.
Yeah.
Because he has to be the center of it. He has to be the center of it. And as soon as, like you said, as soon as you dig down deep, then all of a sudden it's like, well, I did this.
Yeah.
Well, aren't I a good friend? Look what I did. And it's like, oh, I think you were becoming your own God, which is the first commandment. No, no. So do you want me just...
Yeah. What, so, yeah. You go ahead and I'll...
So this is John 15. And it will sound like a familiar passage for some of you. And for some of you, it'll be the first time. But Jesus is basically... This is after the Last Supper. They're walking through a vineyard on the way to Gethsemane.
And who's with him?
His disciples. So... This is the cool thing about Jesus. He's constantly teaching, but he's not for the purpose of teaching.
Just doing life. Yeah.
He's not like, okay, now let me sit down and teach you. Like there are moments where he says, let me sit down and teach you. But I think half the time, and this is why what's so important about relationships and being in friendship and having various friendships is that we learn from each other in a very non-sit-down school sort of way. Mm-hmm. We learn how to love one another by watching people love or not love.
Yeah.
So anyway, so he's just, this is on a walk. So this is what he says. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit, and he trims and cleans every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce even more fruit. You are already clean because of the words I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. A branch cannot produce fruit alone, but must remain in the vine. In the same way, you cannot produce fruit alone, but must remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If any remain in me, and I remain in them, they produce much fruit. But without me, they can do nothing. If any do not remain in me, they are like a branch that is thrown away and then dies. People pick up dead branches, throw them into the fire, and burn them. If you remain in me and follow my teachings, you can ask anything you want, and it will be given to you. And you should produce much fruit and show that you are my followers, which brings glory to my God, to my Father. I loved you as the Father loved me. Now, remain in my love. I have obeyed my Father's commands, and I remain in his love. In the same way, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. I have told you these things so that you can have the same joy I have, and so that your joy may be the fullest joy possible. This is my command. Love each other as I have loved you. The greatest love a person can show is to die for his friends. You are my friends if you do as I command you. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I call you friends because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. Do you want me to keep reading?
Sure. To 17, maybe?
Sure. You did not choose me, I chose you. And I gave you this work to go and produce fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you anything you ask for in my name. This is my command, love each other.
Mm-hmm. So we were talking even earlier in this week, you talked about it at youth, right? So if a branch is separated from the vine, it's not getting any nourishment and it's dead. Mm-hmm. And what did you say to the kids?
Well, can a branch that's not attached to the vine, can it produce fruit? And I just put a picture up on the screen of a branch that was on the ground.
Okay.
And I'm like, why? They're very cute. They were junior high. Will this produce fruit, this branch that's on the ground? They're like, no. And I said, why? And they're like, because it's not with Jesus. I'm like, the branch is a tree
Sunday
branch.
Sunday school answer.
I'm like, yay, Sunday school teachers. And they said, because it's not attached.
Right.
And I said, okay, well then how can you be connected with Jesus every day? And so we actually made this little bit of a competition.
Okay.
And I said, okay, leaders, pick two people from each of your groups and have them come forward. And how can you stay connected to Jesus every day? If the only way to produce fruit, which is what he says, is to stay connected, well, how do you stay connected? So I had four kids and I said, you can't repeat what the other one says. And if you gap or repeat, out you go.
Okay.
So...
She's hardcore like that.
Hardcore, but they still get candy. So it went like this. Read your Bible. Pray.
These are ways to stay connected.
Ways to stay connected with Jesus every day. Read your Bible. Pray.
Okay.
Go to church. Go to youth group. Don't hang around bad friends. They're junior high. So then it went, hang around good friends.
Right on.
Obey the Ten Commandments. Do what Jesus says.
All right.
Obey the, you know, listen, obey your parents. Mm. Like they just started listing off all, and I'm like.
It was good.
Yes.
It seems elementary, but that's the truth.
And they even said, listen to Christian music.
Oh yeah.
And then the other one was, well, don't listen to non-Christian music. Be careful what you watch on TV. Watch Christian movies.
Okay.
Like, it got to be, like, that simple, because they don't want to get kicked out of the game. But as they're doing this, I'm listening, and I'm thinking, if I want to stay connected to Jesus, what am I willfully doing every day?
What the choices are you making, moment by moment?
Moment by moment choices am I making to stay connected to Jesus? Because that is the only way we produce fruit. It says in Galatians 5, 19 to 23, it goes, the first part says, the acts of a sinful nature are obvious. And it goes through sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft. But then it goes on and it says, but the fruit of the Spirit. It is not the fruit of Jennifer.
Mm.
It is not the fruit of Carrie. You know, it's not even the fruit of new every day. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So when you act in these ways, you're not going to get fined for them. Like, And so if... And I never understood it really until this week, and I started preparing the lesson for youth. If our lives are exhibiting those things, that means the Spirit is at work in our life. That's what it means. It's not the fruit of Jennifer. Like, often we say, you will know a man by his fruit.
Right.
But now I'm thinking about it. You will know how connected that person is to the Spirit by the fruit that is coming out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh. So if I'm not exhibiting love, joy, peace, all those things, I need to go back and say, God, what have I not surrendered to you?
Where's the disconnect?
Where's the disconnect? Mm-hmm. And as I was looking up pictures on the internet, sort of encapsulate the John 15 passage, they had some branches ripped off trees, but not all the way.
Hmm.
So they're kind of attached. And all I could think about, I had a young man in my previous youth group who was a tree guy, an arborist would be the correct.
I like tree guy.
Tree guy. And he talked about all the different fungus that can attack a tree or whatever because of an opening.
Hmm. It's severed, so it's vulnerable.
It's vulnerable. And that's why they put that black stuff over it, right?
Like the pitch, whatever.
To protect it so that the disease and everything can't come in. And I just thought, when we sever ourselves from the Lord.
And I think, sorry, can I just interject there? Like, when do you think that severing happens? So is that when you start to engage in the things of the sinful nature? So, oh, you know what? I'm just going to watch that movie. You know, but it's full of all those things. The fruit of the sinful.
Yeah.
Of sinful nature are obvious.
Yes.
And if that movie's full of those things, then that's maybe where it starts to get severed.
Yeah.
Right?
And we create opportunities for the enemy to come in.
Mm.
And it's like, because that's where all those diseases come in, right? That kill the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we sin, it is so important. Whether it's a big sin or a little sin, however you want to grade it, even though a sin is a sin is a sin is a sin. All sin separates us. The complications is not the right word. The consequences are what can be perceived as different. So when we sin in whatever way, we create an opening for the enemy to come in, because sin is not of God, and we reap the consequences of sinning. So like if I lie, like I lie to you about something, well, that's actually going to cause distrust in our friendship.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I have allowed, because I've lied, it's an opening. Well, God is not at work in the lie. Satan is at work in the lie.
And that's where you have to have that relationship mending conversation to confess. And 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes. So hope is not lost, but it does need to be a choice to say no to the things of our past life and say yes to the things that are pleasing to God.
I think that's part of the abiding. Like I'm a Bible circler. I write in my Bible, and if you don't, then that's okay too.
A Bible circler. I just pictured you running circles around your Bible.
But I have, the word for me is remain, and it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 times in this passage.
Mm-hmm.
And remaining, it doesn't mean there aren't mistakes. It doesn't mean that there isn't upset. It doesn't mean that everything is perfect and rosy. It means you're choosing to stick it out.
Yeah.
It's like, remaining is, even though I have done this, God still loves me.
Yeah.
And so I come back into relationship.
Yeah.
Even though I've done this, and that's, you know, our theme verse, His mercies are new every day. And so, because it says that He remains with us, because He calls us friend.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of what relationship is extending that grace. So that when we sin or we do something wrong, that does not mean we tank the friendship.
Right.
Because God doesn't tank us. Like, He doesn't say, oh.
He doesn't throw up His hands.
No.
Thank God.
Thank God.
But when He restores that relationship, then He gives us new opportunity to produce fruit. So I had a patient in the hospital one time who had a large clot in one of the vessels in his legs. And I was triaging him, and his leg was completely white and almost dead. So the source of blood was cut off by this clot. And these clots can, they're different types, but anyways, some clots can actually be caused by immobility, by you not taking action and you not moving, and blood clots form and they stick together, and then they occlude that vessel so that the source of oxygen and nutrients in the blood can't feed the limb, and then it becomes dead. So it's still there, but it's completely useless and becomes a hindrance.
Yeah.
And it's actually dangerous, because it can become, the tissue can die, and that person can then, you know, not do well. So it was very interesting. And I saw that picture, and it's like, if sometimes my own decision to be immobile, or to not read my Bible, or to not pray, or to not come and ask the Lord for forgiveness when I've done something wrong. Mm-hmm. If my pride's saying, you know what, it's just, I'm just, this is too bad this time, I'm not coming. That's pride. Because I look at the price Jesus paid on the cross, that was enough. And if I'm not thinking that it's enough, then that's pride. Because I'm saying, oh, I can do something to add to that. But if I'm choosing to be immobile, inert, then that's where I can be cut off from that supply.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Holy, you know, when we come back to Him, the Holy Spirit's like the blood thinners that we give, or the clot busters, and busts away the clot to reperfuse that dead tissue, that dead branch. You know, and by His grace, we are grafted in, and we can be given a new opportunity. But something I find interesting here, Jen, is 15, John 15, verse 2, in this version says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, and that it may bear more fruit. And so once you're reconnected and you start bearing fruit, God's actually the one doing like the clipping that can sometimes be painful. So I did a little reading. I'm not a gardener by any means. We have two plants in the house. I look after them both, actually. Jen won't even water them. One was a cactus, and I killed it. We killed that. Sorry, Alex, you gave it to us.
But the other one is still alive. It's all good for now.
What was I talking about? Oh, yeah.
Gardening.
So, yeah, when I was doing some reading about, like, grapevines, and so they'll actually prune away even some perceivably good fruit and good branches so that the fruit that comes after is more rich and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily just like more fruit. It's like quality fruit. And I liked that picture.
Yeah. Because it's not that the other branches are bad, but they will drain off energy nutrients so that you will have like a good crop, but you won't have like the
ice wine.
Yes. The grapes that when you taste them, you're like, oh,
that's good.
Those are good. And I remember reading in The Shack. So The Shack is a book written, I can't even remember who it's written by, but basically a man meets God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And in his interaction with the Holy Spirit, she's gardening. So the Holy Spirit is personified as a female, and she's gardening, and he is watching her. This man is watching her garden, and she goes to a beautiful spot, and she starts ripping all of the beauty out. And he's like, what are you doing? And he's freaking out because it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you're going to all that work and da-da-da. And he's getting upset. And she looks at him and says, I have to clear all of this good out mm-hmm. in order that I can bring something even better.
Hmm.
And I read that and I'm like, how many times, you know, because we get satisfied, right? We think that things are good and we can't even begin to think that things could be better because it's good.
So can you think of can you give an example in your own life or something you've seen in someone else where you feel that God has done that because you are remaining in him, that he started to do some pruning?
Well, I think sometimes it's even the letting go.
Of like what?
Like I was at another church for 12 years, loved my church. You know, I believe in lifelong ministry. You come, you get planted, you commit. Like,
okay.
And so I'm like, I am here. There's no possible way that, you know, I would leave because I value this ministry. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lord started planting new thoughts in my head. And I'm like, there's no possible way it could get this good. Or it couldn't be better.
Because
I had this mindset, this frame of mind that this is good.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he just threw a series of words and friends and conversations and whatever, I left that church, and people kept saying, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And I'm like, I don't know, but I know it's definitely God, because I was fully committed. As a result of saying okay to God, here's my life. I have traveled fully around the world. I have ministered in England and Holland and Taiwan. I've been like to minister as a camp pastor. I've come to the church that we both go to now, and I am continually blown away by the opportunities that God has given me that I would never have been able to experience if I had just stayed where I was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so often we think, but this is good. How could it get any better? How could God give me anything else that's like this? And the thing is, it's not like that. I would never exchange the wonderful experiences and friendships that I had.
Right.
But I would have missed out on this
right.
if I had stayed there. And it's like we cook totally differently. And I would get up, have my piece of toast with my butter, my piece of fruit, my juice, and yes, the same thing.
Same thing every day.
Every day. And then Carrie comes along and she tries all these new things. Because in my mind, I'm like, what is wrong? What
you
is
cut
wrong?
Out the wonderful part.
What is wrong with the toast?
We haven't died
the
yet.
Fruit, the juice, the water, the coffee. What is wrong? It's good. It nourishes me. I haven't died yet. So then Carrie comes along and she has cereal one day and she has oatmeal the next day. And then she has this type of bread that's not really even bread. It's like a cracker. And then sometimes, and I'm like, oh, well, maybe I, it blew my mind that she would have something different every day. And so I tried this cracker type bread with the peanut butter, and I had never ever thought about cutting up a banana and putting on top. Never. Yeah. And so I'm like, okay, well, she hasn't died yet, so it must be okay. So
next week we're introducing Nutella.
Nutella. Okay. So anyways, I got the cracker bread thing, put the peanut butter on it, and I was like, oh,
it's good.
This is good.
But you had to be open to trying something new.
I had to be open to trying something new. And it just goes back into that, am I willing? And this comes with, see, because when we abide with Christ, I learn more about him and how he moves and how he orchestrates things. And when he says, you know, like, I love you, mm-hmm. I know he's not going to give me bad gifts.
Right.
And so when he gives me new opportunities, when he asks me to go in a different direction, because I'm abiding with him, I'm getting to know him, I'm learning more and more. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And what this goes along just with what you were saying there, Jen, excuse me, in John 10, talks about Jesus being the good shepherd mm-hmm. for us. And let me just find it here. He says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Sorry, it's before that. John 10, verse 3, and I'll read on. Verse 2. You know what? I'm going to start at verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is the thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him. For they do not know the voice of strangers. It's like when you spend time with a lot of people, you start to know their tendencies, you know their voice, you know what they're going to do. I mean, you probably have family or friends, and someone might suggest, oh, let's go do this, and you might say, oh, you know what? No, my sister would actually never do that. Or no. Or someone will say, so-and-so said this. You know what? I know that person. They would actually never say that. Because you've spent time with them, you know their character, you know what they would and wouldn't say. You get to know Jesus' voice by spending time with him in prayer and reading the Bible. And actually, I've talked a lot to Jen about this recently because I've been saying, I really want to know God's voice. Like, I want to know when he's saying something mm-hmm. to me, and I want to obey it. And that's just been a prayer of mine lately, Jen. Mm-hmm. But even doing this show has made me realize that it's going to be coming from abiding with him and spending time with him more and more and more.
Right.
Knowing his words and letting the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path.
Yes. So.
And then he will illuminate the way, and then I'll know the direction to go.
Yes.
He's already told me, this is his voice. This is the word of God. And what's so cool, this is the word of God, the Bible. But Jesus is also called the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Mm-hmm. That's John 1:1. And so we need to allow the Word to abide in us, which is the Bible. But we also need to spend time with the Word himself,
yes.
which is Jesus.
And that's why when I listened to those kids last night, how do you connect with Jesus every day? Because sometimes people might say, I can't sit down for an hour and read my Bible. Okay. Well, what are you doing on the way to work? Can you listen to Christian music? Can you listen to Christian radio? Can you have godly conversations with whoever you're walking with? Because, like you said, how do I know? I want to hear God's voice. Because he speaks to us through the Word, but he also speaks to us through other people. One of my favorite Christian artists, Stephen Curtis Chapman. Before we were recording today, I listened to one of his recordings, and I'm like, the I can do all things. His strength is perfect. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, he's singing scripture.
Right.
His strength is perfect. Did I read that in the Word that day? No. But I was able to connect with Jesus by listening to Christian music by someone else who, you know, on their own journey, mm-hmm. wrote this song, recorded it, and now I'm listening to it and I am being encouraged.
Right. And it's cleaning up your mind, because then you're thinking about things that are honoring yes. to God.
And so that abiding isn't, mm-hmm. abiding doesn't mean sitting here like this and I'm abiding.
Yeah. I'm abiding. But maybe sometimes it does mean being quiet.
I totally agree.
But staying connected maybe just means like throughout the day, you're taking time to stop and pray. So we have a friend, Shelly, and Shelly's a really good friend, like a good connector. Yep. She just is a wonderful communicator too. And so like through the day, she'll send a funny picture or send a text or call mm-hmm. or show up. And it's just those like little intermittent interactions with her that help develop a friendship, and you get to know her, you know? It's really good.
Well, and as you're looking for a verse,
yeah,
I think sometimes we can think abiding is the sitting still, which yes, it is, but it's also the intermittent throughout the day. And it's also like in the car driving.
Yeah.
While you're playing baseball.
Yeah.
While you're cooking dinner. Even while you're having a conversation, okay, Lord, what should I say next? Like, how do I honor you in this conversation? Like, even that is being with Christ. Like, so often people are like, I don't know how to abide. And it's just these, okay, like Shelly, how do you sort of connect with God throughout the day?
Yeah.
And I know one of the things that we've done is we've put a devotional in the bathroom. So as we're about our business, we can open it up. And in that moment, read a passage.
It's just people, it's, C.S. Lewis, just his view on different issues. But it helps to turn your mind, take captive bad thoughts, turn your mind towards.
Yeah, and maybe things. Maybe you make a point of stopping before you come into your house every day. Dear Lord, prepare me for what comes in. Mm-hmm. Or as you're leaving, dear Lord, but it sometimes, we think it can be so difficult, but you have to start
somewhere. And I think listening to podcasts and Christian radio. So Life 100.3 is a local Christian radio station mm-hmm. That I listen to. They also have teachings by like James MacDonald. So Walk in the Word, and you can go onto their website. Also Focus on the Family. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate their teaching. Download their podcast. Ravi Zacharias is another author and speaker mm-hmm. who has podcasts available, rzim.org, and just turning those on, even driving in the car, has been really, really helpful.
Yeah, especially for people who commute.
Right.
Like, here, you are in your vehicle for anywhere from, you know, half an hour to 3 hours for some of the people that I know.
Mm-hmm.
And so how are you redeeming that time? And mm-hmm. sometimes that's where some true abiding can come in, and just going through your day and processing it. Oh, Lord, that lady at the photocopier. Ugh, help me. Or, Lord, when my boss came in today, I have to admit, I did not treat him with honor and respect. Forgive me. Lord, when I left this morning, you know, if you're married, my kids said this to me, and I really don't want to look them in the face because of this. And it, you know, and that's part of abiding too. It's not only you talking,
mm-hmm.
but also creating space for God to move through his Holy Spirit and help to bring order, right? To just things that are out of order that just seem so huge. Abiding with Christ allows him to come in and sort things. I like to think he's the best filter. He just, he teaches us what to hold on to. He shows us what we need to let go of. He reveals things to us.
So when I first read this passage, and it says, abide, 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 abide. And I remember asking God, and this is how, and I'm still learning how to read the Bible better. But I asked, I was like, what does that mean? And I kept reading, and he answered my own question in verse 10. If you keep my commandments, mm-hmm. you will abide in my love. just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love.
Yes.
And Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey me.
Mm-hmm.
He says, my commandments are not burdensome. He says, love one another. Sometimes that can be the hardest thing, but he gives us the ability to do it by his grace. Looking at his commandments, asking what those are.
Yes, which is what one of the girls said last night.
Oh, yeah?
And I just thought...
What'd she say?
She's like, you stay connected to God, obey the Ten Commandments. And I'm like, great Sunday school answer, rah, rah, rah.
She's right,
because that's what the passage says. If you love me, you will obey me.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's not a Lord and Master, you're my servant.
Yeah. And yet he is, and we are.
But he's not playing the card. That's not the card.
He doesn't lord it over us.
He's like,
he could.
I love you. And so the reason I love you, I'm going to give you these rules or commandments to live your life by, because that's where you will truly live well.
But here's something interesting to think about. And I was talking to my dad about this. He shared it with me. That when you look at the Ten Commandments, and when Jesus is saying, love other people, you know, don't steal, don't covet their stuff, don't murder, don't do all these things. If they ask for your cloak, give it to them. It's really a value statement about you. God's saying, I love you so much, I'm not going to let other people do that to you. So it's not so much a list of do's and don'ts, but it's like, it's God saying, no, you're valuable enough that I'll hold people accountable if they do these things against you. And so you have to do the same for them.
Yeah, because when we don't, we create breaches in the relationship. Mm-hmm. If I lie to you, I don't value myself, but I also don't value you. Mm-hmm. And the enemy comes in, creates the tear. Mm-hmm. If I start to covet, carries
my jacket.
I'm just saying, every time she pulls out her iPad, I'm like,
you can use it.
I know, but it's yours. But I'm like, do I need one? Maybe I want one. Oh, look at her use it. Just make. And I'm like,
look at her use it.
But that's
coveting.
Mm-hmm. I was like, I want that. And I actually have to surrender that to the Lord. To say, Lord, do I really need that? Or is it just a nice, bright, shiny toy that I think will do me well? And so far, I've been able to do my technical stuff fairly well without one.
But you have to take the thought captive.
You have to take the thought captive. And a lot of the things I start asking myself is, Lord, forgive me for coveting or for breaking that commandment, whatever one it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if it has caused division between me and Carrie or me and you,
mm-hmm.
reveal it to me. And what is that root cause inside of me that's causing that to come up? And so just surrendering that whole thing to the Lord. Like in the last episode, we talked about the little foxes that come in, and just being willing to surrender those two. And that comes also from abiding.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the, not infirmities. I'd like to make up a word.
Do it.
I
do
can't
it.
Do it. but, you know, those blemishes. When we abide with people, the blemishes come to the top.
Explain what you mean.
Like, I want to say the sins or those things in us, the imperfections rise to the top.
That's true. Actually, so when I was dating this one guy, and as we spent more time together, I remember coming home and telling Jen, I was like, I just realized that I'm kind of selfish about some things. I'm expecting him to do A, B, and C, and because it's all about me. And it wasn't until I was in relationship
mm-hmm.
that came out. Because on your own, like, who cares?
Yeah.
You know? So, and that's why I think we need to be attached to the vine.
Yes.
Be continually getting source from his word and his truth. I mean, Psalm 119, verse 9 says, how can a young man or a young woman cleanse his way or keep mm-hmm. his way pure?
Yeah.
by taking heed according to your word or living according to his word. And I think of that like, okay, that's living according to the Bible, but that's living according to Jesus. So I don't know, now I feel challenged to read the Gospels like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see how Jesus actually interacted with people or people who rubbed other people the wrong way.
Yeah.
You know?
And how did he respond? Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, maybe the Lord has touched some things in your life today about, or may say, you're not abiding in me in this area. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you're saying yourself, oh, I need to check some things. Because the Lord is so clear. It says in verse 11, I have told you these things so that you can have the same joy. Like God mm-hmm. wants joy for us. He wants joy for us. So we're going to pray. I'm going to ask God to reveal those areas that are not abiding with him. Those areas that have allowed the enemy to come in and mm-hmm. do his thing. And we're going to ask him to produce joy in our life as we abide in him. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you that you call us friend. And you call us to abide in you. You don't say, not until you're perfect. You just say, come. And then, Lord, as we abide in you, those things, those imperfections in us rise to the top, and then in your grace and your mercy you say, are you willing to surrender them to me? Because if you hold on to it, you're not going to have the joy that I have for you. What you have is good, but I have something that's even better. And Lord, the thing that I love about you is what we thought was better becomes, there's something always better, there's something always better, there's something always better in you, because you're that good. So Father, help us to fully surrender our lives to you. Help us to abide in you. Lord, help us to allow your Holy Spirit to move in our lives to produce fruit. We need your help. We need your help. Lord, thank you so much for the viewers that are watching. Thank you for Robbie in the Category 5 team. Bless them as they look after all the details. And Father God, thank you for drawing near to us when we draw near to you. Help us to abide in you. We ask this in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And Father, you wrote in the Bible that people will know that we're your disciples mm-hmm. by how we love others. And so that's important because we want to be your ambassadors and represent you well. So Lord, would you please help us to love other people as we go about our days and weeks at work, at school, wherever, at home with kids. Would you give us good insight into how to really love other people? Maybe it's reminding us to phone somebody or to call our parents, or to call that distant cousin who we haven't connected with, or maybe make a meal for our neighbor. Oh Lord, would you help us to really shine the love and the light of Christ for your glory? Thank you for your goodness. Lord, I pray for the people who are struggling, and maybe they have sought you in the past and they've turned away. And I pray that you would remind them that your mercies are new today for them, mm-hmm. that they can turn and be forgiven and start fresh even now. Thank you for your love towards us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks for tuning in again. NewEveryday.tv is our website, so please go there. Check out the links. You can contact us through Facebook or through email, and you can get to Facebook and email through our website, NewEveryday.tv. So thanks again to Category 5. And thank you, Jen. It was a good talk.
Good talk.
We'll see you next week.
Later.